has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the Monday morning fresh edition. It is October the 2nd. Welcome to October. It's the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we will dig into how the market has opened here so far. We did get the news yesterday of no shutdown for the government. The NASDAQ likes it. The NASDAQ right now is up 93 points to 13,308. We've got the S&P 500 up. Let's see, the S&P 500 is up 0.1% right now, the S&P 500, which equates to 5 points. The Dow's down 66, however. I think the oil stocks might be a little weak here today. Dow is at 33,441. Small caps down 0.75%. I know interest rates are going up again today, which is not a good development. Crude oil is down 76 cents to $90.03. Gold is down $17 as the U.S. Dollar remains very strong. Silver's down 85 cents. Now, the 10-year is up another 7 basis points. So I want to say that that's back up to its high for the year at 4.64%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide, fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And, well, Barry, the federal workers were hoping for a day off. They got to go back to work today. No shutdown.
Yeah, my brother-in-law didn't get a three-day weekend. So yes. He's going back to
the I've office. Got a son-in-law in the military, in the Army, and he's got a report for duty today, sir.
Yeah.
And
he was supposed to go anyway. That was the other thing. I'm like, when I heard it's like, really? You're supposed to go? And you're supposed to go to work even though you're not getting paid. So he was in a
wow.
quote-unquote whatever, essential
yeah.
whatever. I don't know what they term them. But
well.
You know, he was going to be going to work anyway. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not sure if I might at least take one day off, at least for the three-day weekend, I guess, maybe.
Well, in that event, the good right? news is they're back. They are not getting – they're at work, but the bad news is in 45 days we hit this whole
problem. Start it all over again.
Again.
Hey, I'm sure the news channels love it. It's,
yeah.
It gives them plenty to talk about and plenty of eyeballs.
And so. The two big items seem to be the support for Ukraine, financial support, which has become a very controversial topic, obviously. And what was the other one?
The border. Yeah, so you know, regardless, right? You've got, of course, your number one issue just being the amount of money, you know, getting some kind of a budget under control, and then the two ancillary, you know, important issues of Ukraine and trying to tie Ukraine aid to
yes.
To the border security, and you know, if I mean. We won't get too many compromises anymore in Washington. It seems like we used to. So maybe,
well, they got a small one, I guess, but they took out the two hot issues. So
yeah, that's right.
It seems to me like the border should get priority. That's just my opinion over Ukraine. That's a little closer to home.
One's a little closer to home, exactly.
Yes. Okay. Well, we begin a new week. We finished off September. We finish off a quarter, and we begin a new quarter, the final quarter of 2023. We had a rough close. We had a rough September. We had, I think the S&P was down about 5% or something like that. And, you know, I mean, the Dow has given up all its gains for the year.
in the roughest quarter of the year.
So, as of Friday, the Dow was up 1% for the year, but the NASDAQ, that has been the leader this year, and even after the sell-off in September, let me get the NASDAQ numbers up here. The NASDAQ on the annual scoreboard is still up 26.5% for the year. The NASDAQ really didn't budge last week. It held its own, which is telling me, again, that the bottom, the correction, is probably over for the NASDAQ. And if you read my newsletter over the weekend, I made a strong case for the market. And backed it up with why I think that. If you can, if you didn't get the newsletter, you get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. The S&P is up 11.8% for the year. The Dow is up 1.2%. So dividend-paying stocks, you know, have not done well in 2023. In fact, the REITs, which we'll get to here in a bit, which are kind of a favorite of the dividend crowd, they've really been blasted here this year in 2023. NASDAQ up 26.5% year-to-date. Small caps, rough year. They're down 1% on the year. They've gone nowhere. The mid-cap index is up 2.9%. Emerging markets have had a rough year. They're down 0.5%. That's mostly China, which is down 8.4%. Bitcoin's
and a strong
up,
dollar.
Strong dollar.
Always, Bitcoin, always hurts emerging.
It's up 63% for the year. And, of course, treasuries, the bond market, just 10-year treasury ETF is down about 5% for the year. We began the year with the 10-year at 3.88. We're at 4.64 today. It's up 75 basis points this year so far. Most of that came in the last couple of weeks. The dollar's up 6.6%. Crude oil's up 16%. And gold has basically gone nowhere this year with the headwind of a strong dollar. Okay, earnings season, we can start looking forward to that.
Please. This is a different discussion besides interest rates, right?
We need
a new narrative.
The multiple. It's been all about the multiple. the gap between the two-year and the 10-year is about 50 basis points, so it's narrowed quite a bit. Remember when we were at 110, 120? We've narrowed quite a bit on that gap. Between the two, which is seen as a recession indicator, we've got the 45-day agreement in place. We had the worst monthly performance of 2023, and I think mainly we'll blame it on two factors. The Federal Reserve, our friends at the Fed, you know, very bullish or very bearish, very hawkish talk from Chairman Powell at the last meeting, which was just a few weeks ago, and the big rise in oil prices also hit the market. I think it helped to push interest rates higher. And as you look at the month of September, the two worst performing asset classes are very much interest rate related. What was the worst performing or sector in the market? Real estate. Down 7.8% with you know, rates hitting highs. You're knocking a lot of people out of the real estate market, and you have a lot of vacant downtowns and office buildings. Information technology, which is basically the FANG stocks, they were down 6.9% in September. The industrials were down 6.1%. These are all very interest rate sensitive. Consumer discretionary down 6%. What did well in September? One sector. Energy. Energy was up 2.5%. And the next best performing sector was healthcare, which was only down 3.1%. And, you know, it's unusual to see both stocks and bonds down, but they were. They both had a very rough September. And the bond market looks really oversold to me. The NASDAQ looks really oversold to me. interest rates look too hot to me. And then somewhere in there in that orbit is the earnings projections, and they still look very good. So those are kind of the four plates spinning in the air as we begin a new quarter. Seems to me inflation's going to start taking a backseat. You know, inflation seems to be, I wouldn't say it's under control, but it's definitely cooled off considerably. It just seems to me like interest rates should come down from here. And it looks to me like the NASDAQ is grossly oversold and growth stocks in general. All right. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. When we come back, this is the Best Stocks Now show. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We got a mixed market with the NASDAQ up 69 and the Dow down 72. And the S&P 500 is basically flat on the day. I think the market likes the fact that, there's no chaos in Washington, D.C. today with government shutdowns. But it also can't not be happy with another rise in interest rates. We lost those 6 points last week, and now we're gaining them back here this morning, and we're back to 4.64 on the 10-year. Okay, we have the student loan repayments resume. Which, I saw a lot of, things over the weekend, little people being interviewed about, having to start paying their student loan once again. And will that hurt the economy? Well, I'm sure it takes some spending. You've got 40 million people that are affected by this. Between them all, they own $1.6 trillion in federal student loan debt. But I don't know, look.
It's hard to have any sympathy for it when I have paid student loans. I remember my parents, I remember when they paid off their student loans when I was a kid. It's almost a rite of passage if you don't, if you don't get a scholarship, if your parents don't pay for your school, it's an investment in yourself, so it's kind of hard. I don't know. To me, I get it in terms of not having the money. If you pay $20 forever, I don't know, but there's got to be. You can't just wipe it all away, and at least pay something. It's like
next?
A medical bill. You got to you pay $20, and no one's gonna the medical folks can't send it to your credit or whatever. But you still got to pay something.
All the mortgage loan debt that's out? I've got a son-in-law who took out student loans and put himself through dental school, and he's been a dentist now for the last couple of years. So anyways, and the Supreme Court agrees, they blocked President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan, he did some executive orders that gave some people relief. Okay, now as far as the oil goes, we seem to have finally stalled out here in the $90 area, which I've kind of been predicting at 92 to 90 seems to be pretty stiff resistance. Oil's going to run into demand here. I mean, the two are going to intersect, the supply and demand. I think we've reached that point. But at the same time, Saudi Arabia certainly could cut production once again, and we're just not going to step up ours at all. The Biden administration plans a record low number of offshore drilling leases, a record low number. So we're cutting production, too. We're just not doing it the way that Saudi Arabia is doing.
I did see some stuff in terms of, you know, if say non-OPEC plus countries in terms of you know, increasing their supply. And for example, I think Canada, for example, I think by next year we'll have an extra 500,000 barrels of oil a day. Brazil is another producer, you know, non-OPEC plus producer that's been you know, upping their production. So you've got these other places that, you know, non-OPEC production is increasing. You know, the question is, right, you know, if those increase too much, heck, Saudi Arabia can reduce theirs a little bit more and keep the price where it is. So.
Yes. So, yeah, they released their five-year plan, and it was met with derision from both the fossil fuel industry and environmental groups, both of them. The environmental groups did not want any oil and gas leases. And, of course, the fossil fuel industry wanted a lot more. Neither one is happy. Last time I looked, the word derision means hatred, hate. So nobody's happy there.
It's about to, but, about to look that one
up. I don't see oil dropping back to $60 per barrel anytime soon. And I don't think it's going to push towards 100 either. I think we're going to settle in here in the mid-80s to mid-90s. That's what it looks like. For me, David Tepper, who's a well-known billionaire hedge fund manager, he's also the owner of the Carolina Panthers of the NFL. His opinion on the stock market, he says it's not that complicated right now. You're just not in quantitative easing. Well, that's pretty easy to deduct. He says you're in quantitative tightening. It's a higher rate environment. Can't be the same multiples as before. Well, that's what we've been saying for a long time. He says it's not bad. It's just a different environment. Tepper did not sell anything in his portfolio. His top holdings are NVIDIA, Meta Platforms, Microsoft. So he still likes big tech. And the only thing he's bought lately is a 6% position in a CD. A six-month CD paying like 5.5% or something like that.
You would think he would be the bank.
Yes. NVIDIA rises today. Let's see. How's NVIDIA? Last time I looked, it was doing pretty good. NVIDIA is up, up 3%. It's come
Goldman
a long ways.
Yeah, Goldman had something. Oh, Goldman added them to their, they called NVIDIA the is to supply the shovels and AI gold rush, Goldman says, adds to conviction list.
Yes,
well, that seems was the reason for the tailwind that they had when they announced their earnings.
It's the premier stock in the market today, and I made that bold declaration
months ago.
I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago. I said there is not a better stock in the market today. I have never seen an upgrade to earnings like that. I've never seen an earnings report like that. You know, a lot of people, took umbrage with me and said, you're crazy. It's at the top. It's at the top. Well, do the math on future earnings and what those earnings are going to be worth. And it also, they raided their offices in France last week. About antitrust kind of behavior, and the EU says there's not going to be any formal investigation into NVIDIA. I think everybody needs their chip. I mean, China is begging for access to the chip. Tesla's Cybertruck, long road to launch, may end in Q4. Well, we're not there yet. You know, we keep waiting for the Cybertruck, which is going to be priced at about $70,000. So I compare that. My first car was a mini truck when they first were hitting America. It was a Datsun. It was a brand new green Datsun with Baja wheels and a San Diego State sticker in the windshield. It was a nice little car. I was happy, man.
Did you replace for the surfboard?
Brand new car. And look at where we are now. $70,000 for a Tesla Cybertruck when they come out. Okay, when we come back, there's news on the new Apple iPhone. There's news on Novo Nordisk and their weight loss drug. and a whole lot more. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. For me, the story of the day, I'm just looking at a chart of the a couple of bond ETFs. One is AGG, which is the aggregate bond market. It's hitting a new 52-week low today. But I got to believe that the bond market is at or near a bottom here. But it is impacting the Dow today.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, as we added a corporate bond at the end of the week this past week and got what I think was around 5.84 yield to worst for the next. I think it was just under a 4-year bond, and you know, you've seen Treasury yields go up at the 10-year basis, but when you look at some of the investment grade corporate bonds in that 3 to 5 year space that we've been in. The deals and the yields haven't gone up as near as much as say a 10-year treasury, right?
Yeah.
Part of that's because they're a shorter term bond. Other things is there's some artificial parts, and that's what we've been talking about in terms of the U.S. Treasury. There's some artificial things that have been driving that number up, whether it's debt ceiling, debate, downgrade. We had the
Fed loosening up their balance sheet.
Right. They're selling bonds
into the market.
Yep. Treasury selling more bonds to recoup their bank accounts after the debt limit debate. And then, of course, the most recent shutdown, right? And Japan selling some of their bond, U.S. Treasuries, to help support their currencies.
I kind of believe, though, that the selling's about exhausted. So, anyways, that's my take on. Now, I got to remind everybody: this two weeks from today.
Well, yeah, and we'll be traveling 2 weeks from today.
October 17th and 18th, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we'll be in Michigan. It could be 32 degrees. It was 87 over the weekend there. But I got a hunch it's going to be a lot colder by the time we get there. We'll be at the Kingsley and Bloomfield Hills. It's our last road trip for the year. And it's really a rare opportunity to meet with us there in person, and in a meeting with Bill and Barry there and maybe Edie or somebody, another one of our staff. We'll be at the Kingsley Doubletree Hotel in Bloomfield Hills the 17th and 18th and 19th of October. If you'd like to meet with us, call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST.
Ask for Edie. She'll set you up. She's in charge.
She'll set you up. She'll work it out somehow so you can meet with the two of us. Okay, now, there's news out of, the Cybertruck. Rivian lowered their delivery guidance. I think that's another issue that we have right now is the price of these electric cars. It's
ridiculous.
They're not cheap. You take a look at what a Rivian cost. I'm sure it's up around that $70,000-$75,000 range.
Look at rates. I was looking at prime borrower rates for automobiles, right? Almost in the 9 range, which is pretty remarkable just in terms of where they've came. It's a lot further than dealer financing, 0%, right?
Yeah.
For six years or whatever. So you don't get that. See that stuff anymore right now.
Well, a little issue with the new iPhones. They're overheating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, keep your hands warm in the wintertime, which is coming. But they're addressing issues about the recent 15 models running too hot, primarily blaming maybe people are using them too much. They're on the chat rooms too much. Primarily blaming a software bug and not the titanium casing. So anyways, that's something that they're working on. Apple is up a little bit today.
Yeah, I heard the issue, the way to fix it is they're going to do an update and it's going to reduce the power of the processor inside the thing. So however fast you thought it was going to be, right, it's going to be a little less fast, I guess.
Yeah, those semiconductors, they heat up when they're going too fast. Novo Nordisk. They're having a patent challenge. I wouldn't worry too much about it. It's Europe's second most valuable company. It has leveled off here in recent weeks because of a patent challenge mounted by Viatris. Viatris was a, I want to say it was Pfizer and the one Teva Pharmaceutical that teamed up and form Viatris. They're in a patent challenge with Wegovy, which is the drug that is a diabetes drug for Novo Nordisk, but it's also a weight loss drug that is very hard to get your hands on. The Danish drug makers GLP-1 receptor agonist Wegovy and Ozempic propelled Novo to briefly become Europe's most valuable publicly traded company. That was over Louis Vuitton, yeah, LVMH.
Top Louis Vuitton. That's not easy. That's not easy to do.
No, I saw to date though. He's got some issues because he's been doing business with a Russian oligarch. Okay, and the drug is known as semaglutide, and of course it competes with Mounjaro, which is Lilly's drug. And I mentioned that I know of. I have a friend who lost 65 pounds using Wegovy. Now, I don't know. My question is, next time I see him, I'm going to ask him, what happens when you stop using Wegovy? Does all your appetite come roaring back and you gain all the weight back? Or have you kind of killed that?
Well, your stomach will shrink over time, so that's another thing. You know, at least from what I hear, your stomach will shrink over time. So then, you know, your head may be telling you that you're hungry, but your stomach may not be able to take the amount that you might be used to eating in the past. But
yeah,
you know, habits. What it takes 28 days or what is it? In 28 days to create a new habit, or 21 maybe
or to break an old one.
Yeah, right. So
GLP-1 drug developer. We're starting to see some other biotechs. Because they think this GLP-1 could have other uses, especially in the addiction area. Carmot Therapeutics is reportedly mulling an IPO. It's a GLP-1. And then I saw one on Friday. They got some play. I don't remember the name of it, but I might hit it here somewhere. The GLP-1s are being looked at, some of these other players in this group that where the weight loss drugs emerged from. California Governor Newsom rejected unemployment pay for striking workers. Well, their unemployment fund is already $20 billion in debt. Because they've been just lavishing and so loose with the unemployment, $20 billion in debt. So he finally said no to more. He also named a senator.
No. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
He named a senator to replace Feinstein already. Her chair's not even cold yet. But I don't know her. She was Kamala Harris's number one aide. And she still is, so she's cut out of the mold of Kamala Harris, and she'll be replacing Dianne Feinstein as the senator until they have the next election. I don't know when that will be. Maybe next November. I don't know. We know it's a 6-year term. REITs fall as industry players face management changes. This has got to be hurting Seeking Alpha. because those people on Seeking Alpha, they love REITs.
Well, and distributions. I mean, the thing is, you know, as we've seen, a lot of these, you know, even big players in the industry are, you know, stopping distributions or gating them very, very limited. And then also, it's going to, you know, they have some reverse yield problems because a lot of these buildings need, they need some updates. And it's going to be, you know, that costs money, not sending money out. So.
Well, the diversified REITs are down 27% year to date. The retail REITs are down 12%. The office REITs are down 21%. The infrastructure REITs are down 26%, and the S&P's up 12%. The only REITs that are up are the data center REITs. They're up 14%.
Right. And don't forget, those cash flows are worth less, and those buildings are worth less in a higher interest rate environment.
Well, for years on Seeking Alpha, you know, the top articles have been REIT-related. Those folks have never met a REIT they didn't like. And I just go back, you know, you go back to the bear markets of 08 and 09, the REITs were down 79% during that period of time. They're extremely sensitive to the economy. And I commented on a few of the articles written by the REIT guys, and they just blasted back at me saying, oh, no, these are the safest things you can own. Well, not so. Look, they're getting clobbered when the market is up this year. We'll be right back. We'll look underneath the surface of the market, see what we find. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I was just looking at the number one article on Seeking Alpha today, which is typical of Seeking Alpha. I mean, look, everybody's got their opinions. The title of the article, 13% Yield. Recession-proof.
I like must the recession-proof. I like the recession.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can use...
must own in your retirement portfolio. Okay,
sounds like,
well,
a guarantee. I don't know if we can use that kind of, language in our...
In 2007, Annalee was $81 per share. Today, it's $18 per share. It's down $63 per share since 2007.
It's been self-liquidating, and I had a client years ago, right, in like 08, 09, who has always been an Annaly fan, right, and has basically clipped that coupon or dividend or whatever you want to call it, that income, since then. But like you said, you're taking income in on one end, and you're losing, you know, principal on the other end in terms of the value of the investment. So
yeah, the yield is 14%, but when you take a yield of 14% and the ETF is down 17% in principal, you've got a total return of -3%.
And it's tax inefficient. The other problem is too is you're taking, you know, especially from the taxable account, you're getting a dividend, which you're paying ordinary income tax on mostly, and or interest. You're also paying ordinary income tax on versus a capital gain, right? If you hold it over a year, then you're going to be paying a much more preferred rate compared to what that income is. So I don't know.
Well, and then you've got another guy on Seeking Alpha that's all he writes about is REITs. He has 112,000 followers, and he's got an article out on a REIT today. REITs are currently trading at low prices, presenting a great buying opportunity for investors.
Well, what does our song say? Go where you want to go, do
yeah,
what you want to
you
do.
Know, yeah, and I've never seen a REIT he didn't like. So, he has had REITs that he's, but I mean the sector itself, it's like the next thing, it's the best thing next to sliced bread. So what REIT is he recommending, or is he just doing REITs in general? Mid-American Apartment Communities. Well, I can see the wisdom behind that, but it's getting clocked. It's down from one. It was $2.30 a share, that's interest rate sensitive. That's the problem with REITs. They're very interest rate sensitive.
And they're like bonds. I mean, they're really,
absolutely,
they truly are. Yeah.
So if you see a bond that's yielding 13%, you got to say, wait a minute, this is a junk bond. This is beyond a junk bond. A junk bond is 8 or 9. 13 is like nobody else will lend us money except the guy down the street, you know, the title loan guy. That's bad news. And you,
yeah, and we're digging and digging through investable, right? Investable bonds, investment grade bonds that we're willing to purchase. And, you know, I mean, your best rates, right, at this particular moment in time are, you know, going to be, you know, 6 or a bit lower, versus, yeah, you see something that, and when I look through the list, I always see, you know, 8%, 8%, and it takes me a long time to get through there. Every one of them are financials and or
oil drillers
backed by REITs that you really probably don't want to be a part of.
No, absolutely not. Okay, well, let's take a look underneath the market here today. We did get some good news, I think. I think the market's happy not to have the government shut down. It's got a 45-day reprieve till it has to start. You know, about 30 days before it starts chewing its fingernails once again. Let's look at the Dow today. The Dow is down, and it's mostly 3M, down 4.3%. Not a favorite stock of mine. The oil stocks are down. Exxon's down 2.6. Chevron's down 1.9. What's up in the Dow today? Only one stock up 1% or more. Apple's up 1.2%. United Healthcare's up 0.9. Microsoft is up 0.8. S&P 500, okay? The leader there is a credit card company, Discovery Financial, up 6.2. I like the second best stock in the NASDAQ and the third best stock. NVIDIA is the second, or in the S&P. NVIDIA is the second best performer in the S&P today. It's up 3.3%. Arista Networks, which is also an AI play, is up 2.5%. I also like the action in Google today. It's up 2%. Amazon's up 1.8%. Meta is up 1.7%. And, you know, you got to say these big tech stocks were absent. They took September off for the most part. They just went on vacation to the Caribbean, wherever.
Most of July and August,
yeah,
too. Right?
And now it's good to see the first day of October, whereas they're buying in the big tech stocks again, where it's also where the best growth is. And you say, well, how come they haven't been going up? Because it's the multiple part of the equation. I mean, look, what would you rather own, Microsoft or a 13% dividend payer that's gone from 83 down to 16? He's the number one writer by far, though, on Seeking Alpha. And I'm not knocking him or his efforts. You know, I just disagree. I don't agree that that's where your retirement should be, because I've seen the results of that. I met with a guy, I talked about this before, that had a whole portfolio of high-income ETFs and stocks. And he just got slaughtered. It went from $1 million down to $300,000. And his wife called me. She says, you got to talk to my husband. And I said, I'll try. I even made a house call. And the guy would not listen to me at all. He says, I'm still getting my dividend. What do I care if it's gone from $1 million down to $300,000? Okay, now let's look at the rest of the S&P 500 here. Or let's look at the losers in the S&P 500 before we check the NASDAQ. Oh, we're out of time. Man, I got to hurry. I got to talk fast. Let's look at the NASDAQ real quickly. The NASDAQ, the biggest winner in the NASDAQ is got to be NVIDIA. Yes, up 3.2%. So big tech, good day. Like to make an appointment with us in Bloomington Hills, Michigan, in 2 weeks from today, Tuesday, or 2 weeks from tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST if you'd like to talk to us about managing your portfolio for you, fee-based. 855-611-BEST. Set up an appointment. If you'd like a financial plan, that would help. Couldn't hurt. Or if you'd like, 2 weeks free of the newsletter. I made a pretty pretty good article about you know, where I stand on the market right now. Another bold call. Go to GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.